Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Let's take a breath together. This has been quite a week, hasn't it? Over this last couple weeks, this week especially, the last couple days especially, I have received numerous communications from people going and saying to me, "Are you going to talk about politics on Sunday?" I try to keep politics out of the church. But I am going to talk about what's going on behind the politics. You can get all the politics you want on CSN, MSN, Facebook, all of those different things. Tune them on, you can get your fix of politics. But have you ever wondered what's really happening? I believe what's really happening is what we are seeing happening and unfolding in the world right now is the end of one way of being so something new and greater can be born. And if you are here in this room today, I believe you are one of the ones who has felt the calling to be. Thank you, Bill. He didn't know what I was going to talk about today. You are called to be midwives of this new consciousness that is arising. And everything that's happening on the surface that we call politics or whatever, is but the drama that we go through when change happens, when old ways break down so new ways can evolve. And old ways usually go out kicking and screaming. That's okay. That's how evolution works. But we can be a part of that in a positive way. We can be a part of that by holding to the vision, by being love in action, by understanding what abundance is and how it plays into this. So as I go into today's lesson, I want you to think about not only how it applies to you personally, but how it applies to what's going on in the world as a whole. Because it really is all about spiritual awakening. An awakening to what abundance truly is. A deeper understanding of how it works. I chose to do this series in March, not because I knew what was going to happen, but because March is all about new growth. It's all about new life. It's all about the principle behind creation itself, which is what? Okay, good. You're in the right place. I will tell you. It's all about love. The nature of creation is love. And the other part of that is expansion. Think about the universe. Our universe is an abundant universe. We live on an abundant planet. And it's all about evolution and expansion. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." For those of you who may not have been here before, I truly believe, and I'm not the only one. I'm not going to say it. I will. I hope someday you'll join us. I truly believe that was his mission statement. When he said that, that was his mission statement. Everything else fits under that umbrella. That's why we explored the nature of love in February, followed by an abundance of everything in March. So as we get into that, the first thing we have to do is begin to understand what is abundance. What is it? We in the West, when we hear that word, we tend to think of abundance as money and material possessions. But money is not abundance. It's an illusion. And that is why those who hoard it are never satisfied. You can never have enough because it's nothing other than Irish linen and ink. That's all it is. It's not paper, by the way. That's why you can wash it and it still is good. Essentially, when we try to hoard it, we're holding on to nothing. But it is a representation of the energy that we have put out into our careers and our livelihoods. So it's a representation of our energy, but it is not the totality of our energy. In unity, we understand that abundance is inclusive of loving relationships, health, peace, intelligence, and all good things. All good things. And yes, it includes a giving and receiving of energy, whether it be in the form of the representation of our energy that we call money, or through our service, through our life, through the ways we are blessed. It's all an exchange of energy. So this month, we're going to be exploring how that plays, how that works out, how we can experience it and use it for the highest good for ourselves and for our world as a whole. As we look at what the totality of abundance is, we may see or think we see an appearance of lack. And certainly there are places in the world where people are not living abundant lives. We know that. What is missing? Well, there may be a lack of love, a lack of compassion, a lack of understanding, a lack of safety, a lack of confidence, a lack of hope. But in truth, there is no lack of anything in the universe. And yet we experience it. Why is that? I believe it is because we, as a species, have not yet come into a full understanding of what abundance is and where it is. And most importantly, that understanding that it is the very energy of creation itself, and it is everywhere present. It is the very nature that God is. I recently read a book by Randolph and Letty Schmelig, who were authors and researchers. And they came at this idea of abundance from the metaphysical, spiritual aspect, as well as from business and economics. And they wrote this in a book called Patterns for Self-Unfoldment. There is only one source. We call it God. Out of God flows all good, for in God all good exists. This law of infinite abundance is not a cold, lifeless, metaphysical concept, but a living reality that anyone can experience. No person nor circumstance can possibly keep our good from us once we recognize that God and God alone is the ultimate provider of all fulfillment, ever ready to pour out to us abundance of all good things. The challenge with that is that we think of God not as principle or source, but as an anthropomorphic being that capriciously gives or withholds according to its feelings of whether we are worthy or not. I would be better safe to say, I know it is for me, that because of my upbringing, even though I've been in unity for many, many years and studied to be a minister, those old programs still pop up. You say God to me. And yes, I know God is principle. I know God is source. I know God is love. But there's that old childhood part of my thinking that God is the old man in the sky watching everything I do and determining whether it's good or bad. Am I right?
Yes.
Anybody else have that?
Yes.
And yet we can know that that's not the truth of what God is. God is source. God is principle. And that teaching that God is an anthropomorphic being that withholds or gives you blessings depending on how good you are or how God feels about you is called the prosperity gospel, which we do not teach in unity. It has, though, become very popular in a lot of religion. We understand that God is the source of all good things and that all good things are unlimited and that God is more than we can even wrap our heads around. You know, I love it when people say, I know the will of God. I'm a minister. I don't know the will of God. I know what I think God's will is for me, I have visions of what we can do, what we can be. But to try to define God and put God in a box, this is a source and energy that created entire universes. Come on. We think we can understand it with our human brain. If you can, you've got your brain is way bigger than mine. The best that I can know and that we can know is that God is. And then we can look to nature to understand God. We can look at creation. And at that level, we see two things. God, source, is only love. That's all there is. And that love is always expanding and always evolving. And there is no such thing as lack. So where does the experience of lack that too many human beings have, and sometimes we have it in our own lives, where does that come from? It comes from our individual belief. Rebecca Clark, another author, wrote, "It is impossible to be aware of the abundance present in life and feel deprived at the same time. The only reason for anyone to experience an insufficiency of anything is because they believe in lack instead of abundance." Now, we know that there are communities and places and situations on earth where people are not able to experience the abundance that is all around them. And that should not be. But because... Thank you, junipers. We are abundantly blessed with juniper pollen. That should not be. Because of the economic systems that we have created, not any one group or individuals, but we have created through the thousands of years of evolution that we have had, we have created a pervasive idea that supply must be acquired by any means and held onto using any means. Because we have a fear that it can be taken away. And we can only fear that it can be taken away when we are living in a consciousness where we don't understand what abundance is. And that causes suffering for us and for others as well. The Buddha saw this clearly. When he looked around and he saw people were suffering, he said, "Why are people suffering when all that we need is right here at hand?" And he came up with the Four Noble Truths, which were literally about the cause of suffering being attachment, which results from a belief in lack. Jesus then took that and brought it into his time and his culture when he taught, "Do not store up before yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Now, the heaven he was talking about was not up there in the sky. It was here, higher thinking. That's what heaven is. Jesus knew that material wealth was temporary, but spiritual wealth, love, faith, are eternal and divine. He went on to say this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or about what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" Now, he wasn't saying starve. He wasn't saying run around without clothing. Please don't do that. There's a place for that. You can go there. He was saying don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. Worry and stress. Well, he didn't say worry and stress. But put your energy into being in the flow of abundance. And those things will take care of themselves. I've struggled at times in my life, but there has never been a time when I've been overly hungry. And certainly never a time when I didn't wear clothes. You probably would have read about it on the news. Jesus recognized that material supply is but an outworking of the proper use of energy. He went on, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for spirit," it got translated for me later on, but "for spirit will find it." This reflects that the idea of clinging to personal identity, fears, or worldly control can limit our spiritual growth. And true life is found in then surrendering to the truth. In our modern world, we not only suffer ourselves, but we can inflict suffering on others through our fear. And it really is only fear that is causing that. Fear of loss. Fear that we somehow won't have enough for ourselves. And so we try to get more and more and more. And by we, I'm not singling anybody out, but that's kind of the consciousness in our world right now. And holding on to that because it could be taken away or disappear. And what happens, though, is we get all so much caught up in the acquiring that we begin to hoard and we forget to put it out. Studies have shown overwhelmingly that having massive amounts of money and material possessions do not make one happy. In fact, just the opposite. It's proven that the more somebody has, the more afraid they are of losing it. When we see that, we see that there are people in the world that are all about acquiring and hoarding and everything, and we can begin to have some compassion for them. We may not agree with what they're doing, but we can have compassion. So understanding abundance, we look for new ways. New ways of making sure everybody has the same experience of abundance. Lowell Fillmore wrote a lot about this in a pamphlet he wrote called New Ways to Solve Old Problems. And he says, the problem of human welfare is not lack of supply, but how to make proper use of the infinite supply that God has provided. There's more than enough of everything every human being on earth needs to live abundantly. The problem is distribution. The problem is equity. So what is our part in this? How do we come into this? Well, first, we're doing it today. Begin to understand what abundance is. When we think abundance, we are true abundance, we are synchronized with the flow of abundance. We don't create it, but we can align with it. And that's a very important thing to understand. Many people think that they have to create wealth, they have to create abundance. Whereas we understand it's already there, we just simply have to align with it. And the more who do align with it, the more energy there will be in the proper use of it, so that not only are we as individuals abundantly blessed, but those around us are abundantly blessed. God and nature produce abundance. Humans suffer from want because of our own abuse or misappropriation of it, not from lack of it. So we as individuals can hear the call that Bill was saying about. We can be the ones who stand up and say, we are going to change the thinking. But just like peace in the peace song, it has to start where?
With us,
yes. So today's lesson title is Living on Purpose. Living on purpose. Living with purpose. And that purpose is being awake, being aware, being understanding of how the universe works and how we can be a part of shining the light even brighter. Instead of being at the mercy of events and situations and circumstances, instead of being controlled by politics or media, we can live with the purpose of bettering ourselves and humanity. So for those of you who have been stressed over what's going on, let's get this over with. Go, oh. And then say, I am ready to be the light.
I am ready to be the light.
I hear the call. Thank you, Bill. We cannot be a force for good if we are stuck in lack ourselves. Our energy is spent in that case surviving, complaining, criticizing. We have no energy then to bring about good. But if our energy is in alignment with life, with health, with love, with abundant supply, then that is what we will manifest. That is the energy we will create around us, not merely for ourselves, but for others as well. I know we all want to feed the hungry. We all want to house the homeless. We all want to heal the sick, free the addict. The list goes on and on and on. But we cannot do that if we ourselves are in lack. Lack consciousness is the belief that there is not enough. Prosperity or abundance consciousness is the belief that there is enough to feed the home, to feed the hungry and house the homeless and heal the addict. There's enough money. There's enough love. There's enough time. There's enough opportunities. There's enough personal worth. Keep this in mind as you look for ways to serve. There is enough. Lack consciousness holds us back. How? Lack consciousness creates fear and anxiety. When we believe that there isn't enough, we operate out of fear instead of faith. That's what we're seeing happen in the world right now. There's a lot of people acting out of fear rather than faith. Fear makes us contract. It makes us hoard and hold on to. It resists growth. For example, if we think there's not enough love, we become jealous. If we think money is scarce, we live in constant worry instead of trusting the divine. Lack consciousness blocks creativity and possibility. A lack mindset keeps us focused in limitation rather than opportunity. We stop dreaming big, and instead we make choices from a place of, oh, I've got to just barely survive, rather than expansion. For example, somebody with a lack mindset in this might say, I can never afford that, instead of saying, how can I make this possible? Or I have to take what I think is lacking from someone else. We see this happening on a national and global scale all the time. It prevents generosity and service. When we believe we don't have enough, we are less likely to give, whether it's money or time or love or encouragement. But generosity opens the flow of abundance. If we think we don't have enough energy, we won't volunteer to help others. But when we give, we often discover we are more energized. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Lack consciousness makes us feel like we are in competition rather than in unity with each other. Instead of seeing life as a shared, abundant experience, we see others as threats to our success. What happens in that consciousness? Instead of celebrating someone else's achievements, it may trigger envy or their belief that somehow their success takes away from ours. So how do we shift that? How do we change that? Because we are the ones who are standing in that awareness. We are the ones who can change that thinking, starting with ourselves. So we do it by first recognizing the infinite source. We teach in unity that our supply is always readily available. We trust in divine abundance. And we move from a mindset of scarcity to one of possibility. You may remember at the annual meeting, those of you who were here, I gave what I call my what if talk. What if we had all that we needed to be a powerful force for transforming lives in Albuquerque, for housing the unhoused, for feeding the hungry, for working with the addicts? And I planted those seeds very intentionally. And the supply is starting to show up. Our youth group just received a beautiful donation. And we, as a community, received $20,000 from one individual to get the word out, to get these teachings out into the community, and to take care of some other things. And that's the beginning. We're creating that energy because we want to touch more lives. And we can do that on an individual basis too. We move from the mindset of scarcity to the mindset of possibility. Another thing we do is practice gratitude. Focusing on how blessed we are already moves us, shifts our perception, and attracts even more good into our lives. And giving freely of our good. The act of giving, whether it's love, service, or resources, affirms that there is more than enough to keep us in the flow of abundance. Another thing we can do is reframe our negative thinking. Instead of saying, I can't afford that, I am open to new possibilities of prosperity. You never know where your good is going to come from. And another thing we can do is helping others live fully. When we free ourselves from lack consciousness, we inspire and empower others. By living our faith, sharing freely, and seeing abundance everywhere, we create a ripple effect that encourages others to do the same. By shifting from fear to faith, from scarcity to trust, from competition to connection, we align with the divine abundance and truly live the fullest life possible. And we empower others to do so as we do it. When we do these things, miracles occur. That's what Jesus did. He did these things, and miracles occurred around him. Remember that miracles are the outworking of natural law in ways heretofore unobserved. Let me give you a story of just how this works. Back in the 1800s, there were two men, they didn't know each other at first, Richard and Alva. Alva was born in 1864. He was born poor. He struggled throughout his life. At 12 years old, he finally got a job making watches. But he had a bigger vision. He knew he could do more. Richard, on the other hand, was born in 1846. As a side note, grew up with Almanzo Wilder, Laura Ingalls Wilder's future husband. He eventually became a station manager for the railroad in Minnesota. And one day, a shipment of watches came in, and the merchant they were sent to refused them because he hadn't actually ordered them. And Richard said, "What are we going to do with all these watches sitting here in my office?" And he said, "Oh, I know. Railroads run on time. Let's sell them to all the engineers and conductors." And so he printed little cards with these watches on them and sent them down the line. Eventually, he began selling more and more watches. He heard about Alva and invited him to come and work for him. And by 1887, Richard and Alva had turned their business selling watches into the largest retail company in the world, Sears, Roebuck & Company. But that wasn't the end of the story. Sears died in 1914, but Roebuck left the company and started two more companies. One was the company that manufactured and supplied movie cameras to Hollywood as the movie industry was beginning. And the other was a company that maybe some of you had some of these, Emerson Typewriters. He had vision. He understood that what you give out expands. He was very philanthropic, very involved in improving the lives of people in Chicago and the area around there. And he wrote this: "When we shift from lack to abundance, from fear to faith, from drifting to living on purpose, we unlock the infinite flow that is always ever present." Abundance is not money and things. It's love, it's joy, it's ideas, it's opportunities, it's divine energy moving through us. And when we trust in this truth, we stop waiting, we stop worrying, and we start creating, we start giving, we start hearing the call, and we start living boldly. So today, let us step fully into this energy of abundance, this flow of abundance, knowing that as we live on purpose, we inspire others to do the same. Because the universe is rich, life is full, and we are here to thrive. All of us, every human being. And so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.